Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 10 and verse 31. A mighty maxim. A mighty maxim. Let me read it to you. Christ, bringing this episode to conclusion, says this: but many who are first will be last, and the last first. Mark chapter 10, verse 31. I call that a mighty maxim, because Christ used it more than once and in different settings. Matthew 19, Matthew 20, Luke 13. He used it in different settings. The vineyard workers, the second coming. Now he's using it in this context, in a life dedicated to Christ. Sacrifice for Christ. Giving up all for Christ. Christ says, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. He's spoken about the benefits, the spiritual benefits, I'm sure, in this life and the eternal life to come for those who are Christ's. But again, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. Now, I'm sure this is a saying of the type of parable. It is a kind of hyperbole here to give us the idea. You remember in the answer that Christ has been given to the disciples, Peter's question and blurting out. You remember Christ answered that about 100-fold. Well, you don't want 100 houses or 100 mothers or 100 whatever it is. It's just showing there's an abundance of promise and fulfillment in Christ's giving to us. And here, the first and last, well, if everybody was last today, as it were, the many were who are first will be last. Well, you can only have one first, can you? You can't have many last. You can, and all the rest of it. But the idea is very clear, to me at least, and it's this: the idea is that appearances can be deceiving. Indeed, they are deceiving. Appearances, present assessment, is haywire. This is what Christ is saying. What people think today is not the reality. And one day, and of course I'm sure that's the final day and the judgment, the age to come, we shall see the reality of God's assessment. Well, man's assessment, and let's have it straight, God's declaration. This is the idea. We have man's opinion. And in man's opinion, this is good, that's good, this is right, this is first, this is best, all that kind of stuff. But God says, no. You think that's great? No, that's nothing. You think that's nothing? That's great. The first, last, last, first. This is the principle here. This is the maxim. Christ is saying it's the opposite. The kingdom of Christ, God's declaration, God's weighing of things, God's, I can't say opinion, God's conviction, I don't know what the word is, God's declaration about things. I'll say assessment, but I don't mean that. God's assessment of things is radically different to the culture in which we live. We live in an age of superstars and the great celebrities and the names and the big boys and all the rest. I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about the churches too. It's going on, isn't it? It's the cult of man. But God says, no. No, no. First, last. Last, first. How are we going to know then? Well, we get a glimpse of it, an understanding of it, is when we read Scripture. Look at Paul, 1 Corinthians 4, the first five verses. What does that say? Paul says, my conscience is clear about things. But that doesn't make me right. I don't even weigh my own work. I don't even measure it. I don't look at the number of Facebook likes. I don't look at the number of downloads. I don't judge by that. I don't judge by the number of people who want to come and hear me. I don't judge it by the number of emails I get. I'm being stupid. There was no such thing in those days. But you see what I'm saying? You can't judge by appearances. I'm waiting for God to say, if he can say of me, well done, good and faithful servant, then I might be last now. It's required in a steward that a man be found faithful, says Christ. Well, if Christ says that, well done, good and faithful servant. What an accolade. What praise. I am sure that Christ is here confronting the culture of the age in which he lived, and our culture. Our culture is the superstar, the great, the big, massive progress and all the rest of it. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, listen to Paul confronting the cultures. The foolishness of God is wiser than this world. The greatness of God, the strength of God, makes totally insignificant the greatness, the assessments of this age. Believer, this is how we have to think. We have to get our sights fixed on God and eternity. What does he think of it? What's his assessment? The churches need to do that. Look at how we're getting on. We've got the numbers. Look at the money coming in. Look at the buildings expanding. You can't weigh it like that, my friend. Unbeliever, too. If you judge by feeble sense, you're bound to get it wrong. Let me read a hymn by John Newton. He'll show you how to think. One glance of thine eternal Lord pierces all nature through. Nor heaven, nor earth, nor hell afford a shelter from thy view. You can't run away from God. The mighty whole, each smaller part, at once before thee lies, and every thought of every heart, that's yours and mine, my friend, is open to thine eyes. Though greatly from myself concealed, I can't understand it, I can't take it in. Thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed exactly, now this is the point, exactly as I am. Since therefore I can hardly bear what in myself I see, when we really are awakened to what we're like. How vile and black must I appear, most holy God, to thee? Well, what's the hope then? But since my Saviour stands between, in garments dyed in blood, 'tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. Thus, though a sinner, I am safe. He pleads before the throne, his life and death in my behalf, and calls my sins his own. He takes my sins, and I receive his imputed righteousness. What wondrous love, what mysteries, in this appointment shine. The breaches of the law are, my breaches of the law are his, and his obedience mine. My sins have become his, laid to his account, and I receive his righteousness in my account. One glance of thine, eternal Lord, pierces all nature through. You see me exactly as I am. Many will be first, will be last. And the last verse, judge not the Lord by feeble sense.